We will move to our last part of the agenda, which is just to take whatever time we need for a wrap-up of the day and board comments. And for the three of you that are new, I just want to give you the history that this is a relatively new thing. It used to be we would go through all of these challenging topics, get through the last one and perhaps be burning with passion or questions or whatever, but the day was over and a lot of things ended up feeling unresolved or at various points during the day stayed unresolved. So several of us pushed to have this section added, I think, since we've been doing it for what, a year, Brenda? So yeah, it's really worked well. It's just been how should I say it? A very positive addition to what are very long days. So there is no agenda unless any of you have anything on your mind that you want to talk about coming out of today. So, Ben, you're raising your hand.
I guess I'll jump in here. There's been a couple different topics we've covered. I think Brenda brought up the Forest Accord, where folks in another room are deliberating, and at some point, I think we as a board will have to make a decision on someone else's deliberations. And the FMP, for instance, is the State Forest staff are deliberating, and it will come back to us in November and we'll get an update. And at some point we will have to make a decision on that. And part, maybe this is a question from naivete, but I'm just interested in what role, I guess, how I'll speak for myself, can be more involved in those processes, because waiting for something to come back, maybe that's not quite what I want to see. I'd like to, I think, in the interest of good working relationships and good business, to have more involvement as we go through that process. And I know with the Forest Accord, that's kind of out of our hands. With the FMP, I guess I'd be interested in being more involved in that process as it goes along. And I think those are two examples of sort of just the greater work that the board does, as I'm sort of still learning that. So just wanted to register that.
I'll try to answer, and you may have some comments too. I think, you know, from what I have seen of staff, whenever a board member is interested in wanting to participate more, you know, in terms of briefings or involvements in other meetings and all, that they're encouraged to do it. Staff always seems to really appreciate when a board member attends one of these other meetings. Typically, I think, you know, the only caveat is you want to be careful to not, you may be overreacted to in terms of what you might say in those meetings and be perceived as speaking for the board. So you just have to self-police a little bit there. But it's been my experience that the department has always been very, very not just willing, but welcoming to staff involvement. So you just don't be bashful on anything that interests you. What would you say?
Yeah, Chair Kelly, members of the board, Nancy Hersher. I think also, I'm not totally greased yet on the what the full spectrum of the board orientation looks like. And I would say that through that process and those conversations with each of us and for certain with each division chief, that's a good place to explore a deeper dive, and then certainly endorse what Chair Kelly mentioned, because, you know, using, I would say, like the forest management plan topic as an example, and Liz certainly joined me at the table here, but I would characterize it, there's always that recognition of, you know, board members come in at different times, And so having to kind of be handed to where you're at right now and then trying to get up to speed. So that deeper dive conversations is welcome. And then ultimately, I think that the agency always wants to assure that the board is getting the appropriate level of information or time for questions to for the board to give us and provide us that assurance that we're doing the work that you still want us to do.
That makes a lot of sense. And I guess I'll follow up with you, Liz, afterwards. And we have some meetings, I think, scheduled pretty soon here. So
that sounds good. I just wanted to affirm really what Nancy said, which is it'll be a better product if we're able to incorporate your thinking and input along the way instead of at the end of the day. And I would extend that to, as we mentioned in our presentation, the type of data and analyses that you're going to want to see so you can make that decision a couple years down the road. So I will be looking for any way to make that happen with the board members that would like to do that.
You may find that you find more opportunities for all of this than you.
I'm sure. I was setting myself up there. I know.
So. Okay. Other things from today, Carla, you've got a
technical question and then a comment, a wrap up comment. I'm wondering if the Oregon Department of Justice could help us on the definition of being familiar with Western forests and what kind of degree or what kind of, so as we really look at a state forester candidate pool, I want to be sure I understand what that definition is. And I think it'd be helpful to get an interpretation. On a wrap-up comment, our organization was the first farm in the United States to be certified sustainable from a third-party, audit. And we've always, worked off of the Harvard sustainability model. And so I've always been trained to look at an organization and say, what are the greatest risks? And I'm very pleased. I feel like we are moving the right direction. I feel like we've got a mountain to climb here in terms of those 28 points that we talked about at length this morning. But I think the economic viability of this organization has been put at risk the last 4 years, the last 5 years, as we've absorbed $438 million of fire costs, and we've taken the hits that we have. And I think we see it in the financials. And so I don't want to underestimate, you've got an organization that's had one of the biggest class action lawsuits in the state of Oregon history, has been unable to meet payroll, has been unable to make commitments. We've got some real structural parts of our financials that we need to rebuild. So I just don't want us to take that lightly of what it's going to take to rebuild this. And at the same time, when I'm hearing the massive programs without the economic modeling, I can't emphasize the need for the economic modeling. So I can get my mind around this as we go. Because when I see the $250 million numbers or the annual, hits to this organization, it puts in question the sustainability of this organization if we don't model that correctly. And if we go into really large fire years, and every scientist I've listened to the last 2 years tells us, and we heard it again today, we've got a 3 to 4x increase in these fires, which really impacts this agency's revenue source and budget and our ability to do what all of these other programs. So Liz, as we talk about some of these massive programs, I can't emphasize the need for financial modeling in addition to the biological modeling. But I want to really thank the staff and specifically Nancy and Bill for all the help on this MGO and rebuilding our financials. Thank you.
Hey, Forrester Hirsch, can we assume that you will forward that request to the DOJ? Carla, I saw you making a note.
Correct, Chair Kelly, members of the board, Nancy Hirsch. And I will definitely, I think we've got that question. And then I think some clarity on the who's who's on point taking the next step on the desired attributes relative to that kind of human resource group? And certainly I'm willing to track that and definitely formally make that ask that group.
Great. Brenda.
Thanks, Jim. Brenda McComb for the record. When I asked Doug Graff about what the greenhouse gas emissions footprint was for the fire division, his look back at me did not go unnoticed. It's a big ask, and I realized that it was, and I didn't want to put him on the spot like that. But given the governor's executive order 2004 calling for state agencies to pay closer attention to greenhouse gas emissions and as well as carbon sequestration and storage, I think that not next board meeting, not next year necessarily, but I think there needs to be a plan put in place to try to document what the greenhouse gas emission footprint is for each state agency, not just this one, but for each. But with this one, I think it's particularly relevant because everything we do to manage forests has a greenhouse gas cost. So when we talk about storing carbon in wood products, that's great, especially mass timber and things like that that will last a long time. But there's a greenhouse gas cost that goes along with that. And it's everything from fire protection to planting to herbicide applications to thinning to final harvest, prescribed burning. And we don't know what that cost is. And sooner or later, people are going to want to know what that cost is. So just want to lay that out there as something to think about for the future.
Yeah, I want to just add to that in terms of a process, because we talked about this earlier when Brenda had brought that up earlier in the day. It was kind of a classic situation that I had seen happen many times over the last few years, which is a single board member brings up an issue and no one else, really reacts, and it just is lost in the ether after that. And that's one of the reasons we're having these board closing comments, because I think it's a real difference to have this a little bit quieter moment. You saw everybody shaking their head yes, to that, which I take as an agreement that no, don't put that on the top of the list. But clearly this was happening in other areas where we were going to start measuring our carbon footprint. And I hadn't heard anything about thinking about doing that for fire. And I do kind of roll my eyes and go, oh my God, that is a big ask. So I think you're seeing agreement on this board that needs to be addressed, and not at the top of the list, but along with other operational issues with this carbon. Go ahead.
Just as a quick follow-up and maybe a first approximation, if there's any way of tracking the amount of fuel that's used each year, that can be converted into CO2 equivalents. It's not everything, but it might be a start.
Thank you, Chair Kelly, members of the board. Brenda, the good news is I actually added that bullet, and so I didn't have to write something new down. It did not go unnoticed.
Thank you, Nancy.
I think it's. I'm appreciating this dialogue. I know the staff is, and then we will be convening on our list, and we'll all be following up. So the other thing I'd offer is that, I think as you all, as this kind of newly refreshed board gets into your kind of your retreat, your kind of strategic planning mode, that, that's going to help kind of set that direction around your carbon plan and, kind of objectives going forward that will help guide the agency around those priorities.
I just want to say thank you. This is so refreshing to have this kind of a conversation at the end of a long board meeting. So I really appreciate that, Nancy. Thank you.
Chandra.
Going last again. So I just wanted to follow up real quick. I completely support Brenda's request there. But back to, I think, Carla's conversation topic around sustainable funding models, and just wanted to put on for the record, this is not a it's not a new conversation piece. And as it particularly relates to state forests and looking at diversification of the revenue sources and the funding sources for state forest activities, I think has been something we've had conversations about before. But I do support having some sort of action item that looks at that a little bit more closely in terms of implementation, if we know that there are imbalances in, you know, the revenue streams coming up, and particularly as we look at different alternatives for management under the HCP, what are the remedies to addressing those funding gaps, and what are the potential actions that we can take? And there are some creative solutions out there, I think. And of course, one of them is, or not one of the creative ones, but we've talked about, you know, trust land transfer situations before, and then looking, of course, for more general fund. But then also I'm interested in how the REI program also connects over, and, you know, what their strategic plan might be seeking to do, and how that alleviates some of the funding pressure on some of the activities in the state forest. So I don't know exactly what that action item is. I wanted to put it out there, though, as something that I want to talk about at some point. And it seems like it may be relevant as we get more details around the HCP alternatives.
Any other board member thoughts, comments? Are we wrapping up then? Wonderful. With that, I will do a light tap of the gavel and adjourn this meeting of the Board of Forestry.